Hello and welcome to the True Faith post-match show, which we're recording almost immediately after finishing the Match Day podcast, which, if you've listened already, involved me and Bolland not seeing that much of the match. Just as a side note for anyone of you that live in Newcastle, there's now a fucking Taco Bell in town. Did you know about
that? Absolutely delicious, by the way. Me and Nick got one on the way back from... I think, who did we go and see earlier this season? Someone earlier this season, and they're absolutely delicious. Like 800 tacos between the two of us. They're gorgeous. They're absolutely gorgeous.
It's like the best place in the world. I don't know how I've not noticed that appearing. So there you can. It was worth listening just for that piece of information for anyone who's not seen it. Aside from that, we should probably talk a bit about the match. So, as my opening gambit, I'd like to offer this. Newcastle played really fucking well for the first like 35 minutes. And aside from that, Lascelles' mistake, we were like an equivalent side to Liverpool, who are one of the best, if not the best team in world football at the minute.
Yeah, not a bad sort of like comparison there. They are absolutely mint. And I just keep thinking the horrible, horrible mistake that Lascelles has made as we walk past him. it's just like... We're throwing the game so early, like we're throwing the game plan in the bin so early. All we need to do is stay in it till 35 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes to stay in the game, stick to Rafa's game plan. And we had enough sort of moments where you thought something could have happened there. Like, I kept saying on the Match of the Pod, but we were getting crosses in the box. Richie, Kennedy, Yedlin, particularly, Dummett, we're getting balls in the box, and if we had someone who could attack it, there was always that chance that we might get a goal. And unfortunately, you know, Hosolu for me is just, he wouldn't score 20 goals in the Championship. I'm not sure he'd score 20 goals in League One. His sardine jumping is so, like, so anti-centre forward, it's mental. Like, we think the way that you see Rondon attacks the ball, and like, not, it doesn't always happen, but like, he always looks to attack it. Hosolu just sort of stands there like a sardine. Like a 13-year-old who's never played football before and just been told to try and get on the end of something. It's horrendous to watch. It was just brutal. Brutal, brutal, brutal.
Was so deflating, where the team performance for a good portion of the game is good enough. If you extend it over the whole period of the match, it's good enough to get something against a really fucking good side. And then there's one individual mistake from a player that, in my opinion, probably shouldn't be in the team. It's really quite disappointing that one moment has cost us any fucking chance of getting anything out of that. You know, as unlikely as that was, you never fucking know, do you, in Newcastle United? Like, if we'd held on to half time, that has us in a formation and a mindset where we make it very difficult for teams to break us down and to create chances. And teams like Liverpool that expect to win games reasonably comfortably against sides in our position in the table get fucking frustrated when teams turn up and shut them out. And that's what we were doing. We're shutting them out, we were playing well, we were keeping the ball well, but we're creating the odd chance, or creating the odd at least breakaway where we had a possession of the ball in reasonably dangerous areas within their half at least. And we've just hide it away completely by Lascelles, just with a disgracefully bad header. And you know, I've said it before on podcasts, like I'm a centre half at a terrible, terrible level of football, and I'm shite at it. But in that position, you know, a thousand times out of a thousand, you put that header out for a corner. Like, there's absolutely no fucking need and no benefit to risking putting that header back in the box. Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense. Putting it back in a position where they can score from is just insanity. Stick it out for a corner. We've got some big lads in the team. We can stop them scoring from set pieces as long as we don't do fucking stupid. But instead, Jamal Lascelles has put it on a fucking platter for arguably the worst centre half on the pitch, like only competing with himself for that fucking position. So
it's been set up by the worst centre half on the pitch.
Very possibly.
it's a great finish from them. And like, it's so frustrating watching the Cells for this season, this game particularly, that kind of mistake he wasn't really making. He wasn't doing that, he was just doing the simple things. The one thing you'd always guarantee the Cells would do, just do the easy thing, you do the right thing. So in that situation, you probably should have, I mean, maybe me and Mickey are totally wrong, but like, he looks like you should have just put that out for a corner.
Oh, we're not wrong. I've just been rambling about that. We're definitely not wrong.
Should have put that out for a corner. It just shouldn't have been an issue for us. They should have had another corner and we'd defend that one.
Yeah. The slight aside for that, despite the fact that Lascelles should put that out for a corner every single time without fail, and he should be fucking taught that. He shouldn't even need to be taught that now. It's basic defending. Don't put it back in the fucking box. But where were the rest of the team? Why is Lovren stood in like genuinely like 6 or 7 yards diameter of space? There was no black and white shirt anywhere near him, and he finishes it really well, and he finishes it really quickly. But if he wanted to, he could have took 2 touches.
Well, we were just defending the left hand. Was it the left hand side of the box?
The opposite
all
side.
Just the opposite side of the box. All of our players were just defending that, not looking at what was happening on the other side. And I think they had another couple of players that were free, that it could easily have fallen to as well. And it's disheartening, because one of the things, you know, that Rafa is drilling into them is that kind of thing, like defending set pieces. And I mean, maybe that was his plan, but I don't think it was, because it was a horrendous plan to leave two. They're two big. I know Van Dijk was free as well, to leave their two biggest players absolutely free. It was just mental, I think. But
it's insanity, isn't it? And you imagine probably Lascelles was marking one of those two. I don't know from memory whether he was or not, but the rest of the lads need to be able to react.
Well, it's gone quite deep, hasn't it? The corner's gone quite deep. It's a far post and it's gone quite deep, and Lascelles has played it back out into the sort of the edge of the 6 yard box where Lovren's just waiting. Pick it up, and obviously he has, and he's finished it superbly.
Just with
well,
a fucking
so.
Cheshire cat smile on his face, getting delivered that one. Like,
that's the sort of stuff
he was
kind of dreaming about, getting that much space and time to just fucking welly it.
Yeah.
Very disappointing.
It is.
It wasn't much.
It's incredibly frustrating. And then, really, with like our experience of the goals in that game was limited to that, but I have seen a clip of the penalty on YouTube, on Twitter, which I don't think you've seen, Barnes. For me, it's never a pen in a million years.
No, I said to you, I was like, whether it was a pen or not, when we were having chances, I said to you, against this kind of team, you've got to take your chances. And I mean, the Hosselu one in the first half, he's absolutely got to do better with that. I mean, if he hits the target or the keeper saves it, we're like, oh, that's a good head from him. Like, fair play, Hosselu, but the fact that he's just hit it straight into the ground, wide, like someone who's never really played football before, like, it was mental. Maybe you think I'm being harsh about that, but I just thought that was ridiculous. And then after that, we had several balls in the box, where I've said earlier, I mean, someone like Rondon puts them on the target or gets his head on them, whereas we just looked so just devoid of life in the 6 hour box when we were putting these balls in. And Richie Dummett, Yedlin, Kennedy had better deliveries than they've had in previous games. With Fulham, if it had those crosses against Fulham, Rondon would have bagged one of them.
It almost feels now like, despite our pre-match optimism, which was obviously misplaced and was like indicative of our Christmas cheer rather than anything else, it almost feels now like we've forfeited. Like, I feel like Rafa Benitez knows that Hosselu is not going to score Liverpool away. I feel like he must know it, and to not play Rondon, and then to be fair, we don't know if he came off the bench in the second half, but if he did, it's too fucking late anyway. Like, once we're one down Liverpool, we're in real trouble, but two down, like, immediately after half time, the game's over, and everybody knows it. So I, in my opinion now, I hope that he didn't come off the bench.
He's been quite good at managing Rondon's game time. He didn't come on. Managing Rondon's game time prior to this, Rondon should be able to have played 45, 60 minutes today.
At least. He's a professional footballer, by the way.
And we're in a situation, and Rafa Benitez is shouting it louder than anyone at the minute, is that this squad is not good enough to stay up. It'll be a miracle, apparently, according to our own manager. And yet he's gone and turned up to a game that, all right, there's no expectation for us to win it, and the chances of us winning it are very slim. But he's kind of I don't want to say he's not tried to win it, because I think that's too harsh, but like,
that's what it feels like to me.
It's hardest to win it. he's kind of written this one off, and maybe there's some logic to that, but it's not the kind of logic that fans normally will deal with. We're Newcastle United, we should be trying to win every single game.
Yeah.
Maybe we're being unrealistic about that, but...
Well, that's what it's come to, isn't it? And we did say something similar before the game, like, Rafa Benitez, the way he sets his team up over the course of 38 games would achieve more points than any single one of us, and there's probably a method in what appeared to be the madness today in playing that team, but it's not that easy to take when you know, like in my own experience today, it took me an hour to get into town. Me and Bolin visited about eight or nine different pubs on maybe a 3 or 4 mile walk to try and find somewhere that had it on. Eventually got somewhere, a fair play to them getting it on. And then to see that performance, it's just not really good enough. And there's 3,000 lads that have gone down on Boxing Day.
What it actually comes back to, and labour the point till he actually leaves, is that Rafa Benitez will have his way of doing things, and if he thinks that playing Rondon today is not a good idea and he's saving him for other games, we need to play someone else. What it comes back to is that we need to have a squad that's fit for purpose, and whether this was a shot across, Mike Ashley to say, look, this is the situation we're in, we're playing Hossolu, we're playing Mudu, who frankly probably isn't good enough either.
And he goes to Japan today, I think, or maybe tomorrow morning for a month.
And maybe that's a political statement from Rafa. Look, this is what I've got to work with, this is what I'm playing. And in reality, we should be in a position where Newcastle United should definitely be in a position where we could not play Salomon Rondon, right? Not that good of a striker. Been great for us when he's played, but in reality, in terms of Newcastle United, we should be in a position where we cannot play Rondon. But on today's show, we're not.
We've
got nobody else. Nope, yes.
We haven't, and that's the saddest thing about it is, maybe Bolney right. I think there's Rafa Benitez is a tactical guy, and he's tactical in his approach to matches, but also in his approach to the board. And we've said this before on this podcast. There's times when we've thought that his team selection may have been like a poster to the board to say, you're fucking Muller and his lads, and there are, and that's the fundamental issue for all of us is. We are not good enough to compete in this league with the finance and the
resource we've got. It's a joke. We've got two strikers, two first team strikers at the club. One of them cost 5 million and was Stoke, who got relegated, third choice striker, and one of them's not even ours. It's a mental scenario to be in. What's going through Lee Charney's head, where they're not going, let's go and get somebody else. 16 million we could have bought for Rondon, and at least then we're talking about two strikers we actually own, which were probably combined less than the entire Liverpool side.
But yeah, we'd still be fuming if that was the case, but it's not even, we don't even have that. That's how bad it is.
The troubling thing is, and I'm less worried about today, I think it's disappointing that we've conceded a lot of goals that we don't normally do against big sides, and I'm disappointed for Rafa in a sense, because he'll not want to go to Anfield and get turned over like that. The disappointing thing is I don't really see, after the Fulham performance, us going to Watford and getting anything, because they're a good side now. That Doucouré is a class player, they've got Deeney, who's obviously solid, they'll cause us problems. I don't see us getting points from that, and I don't see us getting points necessarily from the Man United game, though, as you rightly say, Newcastle have surprises all the time. But I worry now, off the back of that, if something was to happen to Rondon long term, we're down. I guarantee it, we're down. If Rondon gets injured now, we're finished. And it's that's a ridiculous situation for a Premier League club to be in.
Yeah, it's a team selection that really is the most concerning thing about today. The performance, as I said previously, we've not seen most of the second half, but we played reasonably well in the first half, and that's fine, that's great. It's nice that the lads that have been picked have turned up and they've played well, and aside from the mistake that we've highlighted, it's been a good performance. But the fact that is the team that we can select in the busy festive fixture period, which every team has to deal with and every team manages to deal with, but that is the team that we've had to choose today.
No disrespect to Isaac Hayden, but the lad doesn't want to be at the club and isn't good enough to play for the club anyway, and he's starting it away at Anfield.
Who could, if you picked, if I was to say to you, Bolin, you give me a team in world football, but replace the centre midfield with Diame and Hayden, and tell us they're going to beat Liverpool at Anfield and form them in at the minute, can you pick one?
we're going to defend Diarmé for a second. I think Diarmé is actually really...
It's not really a reflection on Diarmé, because Diarmé should be the midfielder that breaks everything up and gives the ball to the other one, and he's fucking brilliant at it, and he's had a tremendous year, a calendar year. He's had a tremendous time at Newcastle, if we're fair to him, recently, for more than the previous calendar year. But because he plays alongside Isaac Hayden, his role has to be the opposite role, which he can't do.
I don't really know what Isaac Hayden's role at Newcastle is, like, other than to fill gaps, because he's not really a defensive midfielder, because we've seen he can't really tackle. He's not really an attacking midfielder, because he can't really pass.
Yeah, not that fast.
Yeah,
not that strong.
Really offer you anything.
Can't hurt.
It's just plugging gaps, isn't it? It's minging to watch. Yeah.
And then let me put the another one on balance. So I presume that means you can't pick one. There isn't one. So take it again. I'll give you any team in world football, and you replace the forward line with Muto and Hosolu. Can anyone beat Liverpool at Anfield?
Manchester City. Maybe Manchester City, the amount of chances they create, I reckon I'd score for them. So I reckon Hosolu's probably got a chance, but...
That's Man City that are four points by Liverpool at the start of the day.
Could you imagine supporting Manchester
City? And are now 7 points.
With Hosolu up front. It'd be so frustrating, because you'd have all these world-class players just pinging balls in the box, this lad who can't even jump. It'd be horrendous. Can't finish, can't jump, can't head the ball, really.
We should give Hosolu to Man City just for the patter of that, like, and like towards the end of the...
That should be their handicap. Start every year. Pep, you can have unlimited budget, but you have to play Hosolu.
Unfortunately, Newcastle United, that handicap is just the situation in our squad. So
imagine you put Hosolu in Liverpool's team, they'd be dreadful. Every time they broke, they'd just be like, well, we can't give it to him. Right, hang on a second, lads.
To give him a bit of credit today, Hosolu, which he probably didn't deserve.
He turned up.
He came, and you know, other than the crosses, every time he got the ball, it was chest height. When he was marked by Van Dijk, who's the best defender in the world, and then Lovren alongside him. Like, Lovren didn't... I can't remember Lovren doing anything other than scoring, because he didn't have to.
The frustrating thing that was watching them was when we did get balls in the box, who was the one that was trying to get it? Muto.
Fucking Muto.
Probably the smallest person on the pitch, although Shaqiri's probably challenging for that. Like, he was the one that was actually charging about, trying to get on the end of stuff, whereas Hosolu was just, like, watching this... Just watching a donkey, like... And when he got there, and he just, when you see Rondon bang on about him, but like when he charges in the box and he attacks the ball, Hosolu does this thing where he'll gallop into the box, stop, and then jump, and then
straight upwards,
and it's like you're not getting any power on the end of that. Like, I don't know what centre forwards you've been watching throughout your entire life where that's ever really worked.
You know, the thing about it as well, like, to play devil's advocate slightly here, by the way, because obviously both Bolland and I think Newcastle deserve to lose today. Rewind the second of the first half, right? And let me present you this scenario. Hosolu scores the absolute city we missed early on. Lascelles doesn't give that stupid goal away, and then the free kick, which I think we've recorded on the Matchday podcast, lands on anyone else's head in the team other than Muto. And we could be 2-0 up.
Yeah, I mean, they were clearly a little bit rattled by how we came out in the first 10 minutes. We were going at them. We were there to play, to have a game of football against them. Like, we were there. But, you know, Lascelles giving the goal away sucked the wind out of it a little bit. They rallied a bit, and we still created other things. And obviously, we made the Hosolu chance. But it's just, ifs and buts again with Newcastle, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's what we've become now, like... We are a team and a squad that cannot afford to make a single mistake, because we're not good enough.
If they've not given that goal away and Hosolu scores, it's a totally different game. They would be more rattled than they were, and they'd be like, shit, these lads are up for it. But it was never, I hate to say it, because I want to back them all the time, but it was never going to happen, really, was it? Like, the Hosolu was never going to score that.
No, but if he did... If he did, that's the thing. That's what keeps us fucking going, isn't it?
If he did, we might have been looking at a much closer game. I reckon they still would have broken us down eventually. And you're looking at maybe a closer game, maybe a 2-1, and then we come away going, all right, well, it was a good performance. They're the best team in the country at the minute, apart from Celtic. and you're talking about a totally different thing. So, yeah.
Aye, so today's podcast... brought to you by, exclusively by Mickey and Bolland, have been subpar for reasons outside of our control, I believe. So I do apologise for that. The performance at Newcastle United, if we're all honest with ourselves, was reasonably expected. And it's just like the one of the most indicative days of the overall patter at Newcastle is what we've been served up today. So here we are. Fingers crossed, Peter Kenyon or anybody else in the world takes over Newcastle United, and we'll be looking at a completely different outlook. But at the minute, again, it's become so bleak. Bolland, final words.
Well, I said to you at the start, with the performance we put in at Fulham, although dire in many respects and being utterly boring and all that, it wouldn't take that many more players to turn Newcastle into a team that's scrapping for relegation, for a team that's looking at being safe by a similar point in time as we were last season. It wouldn't take that many players. We just need a bit more creativity. We need someone in that number 10 position urgently. Urgently need someone there, and we need some reinforcements in the striker position. But if you're listening, Peter Kenyon, come buy us and buy us a number 10. We'll be all right.
Please, mate. Like, I'll buy you at least one pint every day for the rest of your life.
From the pub we've just been to, £2.
Yeah, tremendous. Thanks for listening.